The lesson text that Blaine has chosen this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 through 42. If you're reading from a pew Bible, you'll find that on page 815. I'll be reading from the New King James. I invite you to follow along. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning, everyone. Please have your Bibles open to where he just read, Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be looking especially at verse 42, but the context really begins around verse 37 or so. Before we get into today's lesson, I just want to sort of reiterate something I think Jerry Barrett first said last Sunday evening when we came together for worship, and that is God is doing some wonderful and amazing things among us here recently. We've seen a number of people baptized into Christ. We've seen a number of people who, even though we might not acknowledge it always publicly, it's pretty obvious and evident that they are just rededicating themselves to the Lord and getting more serious about the Lord and about the church. We've had some new life and new faces among us. And, you know, in 2018, our theme was the Spirit gives life. And the Spirit has given life, and we have to give God the credit for these things. God gives the increase. He calls us to be faithful in sowing and spreading, encouraging, and things like that. But God has been doing good things among us, and we should acknowledge and praise Him and thank Him for that, because I'm of the conviction that God has more good things in store for us if we keep doing the things that He has called us to do. And so I want to commend a number, or really all of us together as a family and as a body. I know there are people who have been praying about things and praying about people and doing some things behind the scenes. And God sees what you're doing, but we also are beginning to see with our own eyes some of the things that God is doing through us as well. And I say all that to say I look forward to see what else He has in store for us in the days and weeks and in the year ahead. If you're visiting with us today, we're grateful for your presence. It's hard to believe we're already in February 2019, but here we are. And our theme for this year as a church is Jesus' words, come, follow me. We're talking about discipleship. And in the month of January, we introduced that theme. And last week, we finished up with some of Jesus' statements where He talks about, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23, it words it this way. Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What does daily discipleship look like? What does it mean to day by day to take up our crosses and follow Jesus? You know, sometimes, and last week, I'll admit, some of the stuff we talked about last week, Jesus, it's heavy stuff. He says some things that sometimes people are like, well, that's too intimidating, that's too overwhelming. This idea of, you know, when you really think about the cross that Jesus carried, the cross that Jesus bore to die for our sins, sometimes we look at ourselves, I can't do that. Well, as we talked about last week, taking up our crosses is about something even more comprehensive than just dying on a cross. Jesus took up his cross daily, even the days that he wasn't strapped to a cross. And I don't say that lightly, but even the days that he wasn't walking through the streets of Jerusalem being physically persecuted like he was at the time of his death, Jesus was carrying his cross. He was living a life of self-denial. He was putting others before himself. He was serving others out of their best interest. And yes, sometimes that takes on these really big things, these remarkable things that people never forget. But what I want us to explore today and really throughout this month is that daily discipleship, sometimes it's the smallest of things. Sometimes it's the stuff that people don't remember. Sometimes it's the stuff that you don't remember, even if you're the one carrying your cross in such a way. It's in the day-to-day, the daily activities, sometimes I've called it the daily adventures of life, that you really find discipleship in the small things. And that's exactly what our passage that Larry read for us, actually the last verse of the song that we just sung, it references this. Jesus here, after talking about some really big things and calling the apostles, the men that we come to know as the apostles, calling them to do some really big and extraordinary things, Jesus says, but I don't want others to overlook or forget some of these other things as well. And this is what daily discipleship looks like for us all. Today we're going to talk about just a cup of water. And we're going to start by looking at the littlest act, because that's how Jesus wraps up this statement and this teaching in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Again, he says, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, even the way Jesus says it, he says, even a cup of cold water. What Jesus is speaking about here is really just the smallest and simplest act of hospitality. Hospitality in the ancient and in the Eastern world, even to this day in the Eastern world, it's emphasized more than it is in our society today. And maybe for some of us who are a bit older, we remember times when hospitality probably got more attention and more emphasis in our culture, and maybe it would be good for us to go back to some of those ways of thinking. But in Jesus' world, a simple act of hospitality was just sort of expected. It was assumed that this was the kind of thing you would do. You know, somebody's thirsty, somebody comes into your home, you see somebody traveling on a journey, you give them a cup of water, just the right thing to do. And so, yeah, you should do it, but Jesus says, here's what I want you to know. Even these small acts, they are significant. Even the things people think you should do. This is just what you do if you're a Jew living in the first century. This is just what you do if you're a citizen of the United States. Even if you think like that, Jesus says, it's not insignificant. Even a cup of cold water. You know, I'm afraid that in our day and time, sometimes we're tempted to think that if an act of kindness or an act of hospitality is not something really big and gargantuan and gets a lot of attention, it's just probably not worth doing in the first place. We think, oh, that's no big deal. And so because it's no big deal, we say, well, I don't need to do that. And frankly, sometimes there are people, and I pray that we're not tempted by this. Sometimes we think, if this isn't the kind of thing that's going to get enough attention, that people won't make a fuss over, I'm not going to mess with it. That's not the way Jesus thought. And that's certainly not what he's speaking to in Matthew 10:42. He's saying something similar. This next verse is a well-known verse. It'll be on the screen from Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who was faithful in a very little thing, not just a little thing, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. Yeah, there might be times where we're called to be faithful in these big things. But I have found many times that what God has called me to do and the opportunities that I'm presented with on an everyday basis as a disciple, it's these very little things. It's these things that's easy for me to dismiss or overlook or not appreciate. And then I remember, God calls me to be faithful in these very little things. God calls me to do these acts of kindness, or maybe even a small act of sacrifice. This is part of me taking up my cross daily and following Jesus. It's obvious that Scripture records for us the amazing, the miraculous things that Jesus did. Every now and then, though, it gives us glimpses of just the normal, everyday stuff he did. But think of all the stuff it doesn't tell us that he did. Just these daily, everyday acts of kindness extended to others. But the reality is, sometimes the smallest and simplest of things are actually big deals, aren't they? If you want, you can look at Romans chapter 12, verse 20. It's an interesting passage to tie into what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 10. Because in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, he's going to talk about a cup of cold water, so to speak. And he's going to say that if your enemy is thirsty, what should you do? You give him something to drink. If he's hungry, you give him something to eat. Even if it's the smallest cup of water, if you give your enemy something to drink, that is not an insignificant act, is it? That's no small thing. You know somebody has ill will towards you. You might even classify them as your enemy. Maybe they've backstabbed you in some way, and you say, because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am not going to retaliate. I am not going to return evil for evil. I'm going to return evil with good. That's not small. Even when it's just a cup of water or a small piece of food. And sometimes it's by doing these small, everyday acts of discipleship. You know, Matthew chapter 10 is helping disciples because they are disciples. Romans chapter 12 is because you are a disciple. But all these things together, whether they're the big things or the small things, what are they all doing? They're all working together to glorify God. And they're a reflection of the fact that we follow in Jesus' steps. And again, my experience tells me that a lot of times, if I do the little things on a regular basis, maybe that's when God will present to me some bigger, more challenging opportunities. But he wants to see, are you willing to do the littlest act in the first place? Just a cup of cold water. And the next thing he says is, just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, the least of these. A cup of cold water offered to one of these little ones. Now, as you read this passage, and you hear this phrase, these little ones, and you look at the context, it doesn't seem to be that there are any children present. Or if so, we don't know about it. When you go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it gives us the context. It gives us his immediate audience. He's talking to the 12 that he has called, the ones that we come to know as the apostles. Actually, if you look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, what Luke tells us there is Jesus has a larger gathering of his disciples. The apostles were not the only disciples. They were just the ones that Jesus called out from among his disciples. And that's what Luke 6:13 says. He gathers all of his disciples together, or at least a large group of them. And from that large group, he selects the 12. And I believe that what Jesus is saying, especially here in verse 42 of Matthew 10, he's speaking especially to his larger group of disciples. And he's telling them, as you help and support and aid these that I have called out and those I'm sending out for this special mission, even if you just help them with a cup of cold water, you're a part of this work. And as he refers to these apostles that he's sending out, he's calling them, the apostles themselves, the little ones, the least of these. Now to us, we think about the apostles, and these guys, I mean, they're like the Hall of Fame of the Bible, right? I mean, these are the guys that the foundation of the church is built upon. These are the names that we teach our children to sing in the Apostles' Song. But who were these men in the first century? They were nobodies. There was nothing significant about them in the world's eyes. As we've talked about over the past few weeks, you've got people like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, for the most part, uneducated fishermen from the region around Galilee. Not significant or important men, according to the Roman Empire. Speaking of the Roman Empire, another person who, in the Jewish community's eyes, would have not been significant. You think about Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the tax collector, like all tax collectors in his day and time. Now think about this. You are a Jew. You have a Jewish background. And here you are working on behalf of the Roman Empire to collect unfair and excessive taxes on behalf of the enemy. Your fellow countrymen view you as a cheat and a thief, corrupt. Yeah, you might have money, but you're the least of these because people hate you. You have no business selling out your country the way that you have done to the Roman Empire. And yet Jesus calls Matthew to be among the apostles. On the other end of the political spectrum, you've got a zealot, a political fanatic. And probably a lot of people be like, yeah, man, I agree with some things you got to say, but you're just a little two-way out there, and I don't really want to be associated with you. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm calling you, Simon the Zealot, to be one of my disciples. To tell you how nobody these nobodies were, there's even one called James the Less. Jesus says, here I've called these 12, and if you will just help them in the smallest of ways, I see what you're doing. You're a part of my work. And you will by no means lose your reward. Now what about us today? Who are the little ones or the least of these among us? You know, sort of like what I just said about a cup of cold water. Sometimes we think if this isn't a big enough act or something that's going to get people's attention or something people will recognize, it's just not worthy of my attention. If we're not careful, we can think the same thing about people. If this person isn't important enough, influential enough, connected enough, if this person can't help me in return of me helping them, there's better people I can go and serve. I think as Christians, one of the temptations today is if we're not careful, we give too much attention to the greatest of these among us and not the least of these. I agree with everything that Ben said in his prayer about things that we are seeing going on in our society, things that we see going on among government leaders, whether on local levels or national levels. But you know what the reality is? If we're not careful, we give so much attention to the greatest of these, people in positions of power, that we overlook the opportunities on an everyday basis to help the least of these. Sometimes our attention goes too much to Washington. Sometimes our attention goes too much to Hollywood. Tonight, sometimes our attention goes too much to our acclaimed athletes and entertainers. And we say, look at what they're doing and how evil and wicked and sinful. Yep, I agree with all of that. But you know what Jesus calls his disciples to do in Matthew 10? Help who you can help on an everyday basis. The least of these, my little ones here. Sometimes the little ones are children. They get overlooked. And so much of the mess and chaos of the stuff that gets our attention. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus, as he is preparing others for his departure from earth, he says, I want you to know I'm going to return someday. And when I return, I'm going to ask everybody to give a reckoning with what they've done with their lives. And one of the things that I'm going to look at, one of the things I'm going to ask is, what did you do for the least of these? The hungry, the poor, the naked, the imprisoned, the strangers, the foreigners, the ones that get overlooked, put down, trampled upon, and bypassed. What did you do for the least of these? And he says, on that day when I return, people are going to say, well, we've never seen you in this situation, Jesus. He goes, yeah, I know that. But inasmuch as you did or did not do it to one of the least of these, you did or did not do it to me. Jesus is essentially saying the exact same thing here in Matthew chapter 10, because as this passage begins in verse 40, he says, whoever receives you receives me. Speaking again to the apostles, he says, I'm not going to be traveling everywhere you go. But however they treat you, however they respond to you, even though you're nobody important, even though some people might hate you and vilify you, if they welcome you, they welcome me. If they reject you, ignore you, persecute you, that's how they're treating me. But if we are blessed and we take advantage of the blessings in serving the least of these, guess who sees it? Our Lord and Savior. And He identifies personally with that work. And because He identifies personally with the work, that brings us to our last point. We see the reward that comes from Him. The Lord's reward. And so He says, even if you give one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, saying to his greater audience of disciples, truly I say to you, you will by no means lose your reward. The littlest act extended to the least of these, Jesus says, you don't lose your reward. This is not insignificant. So don't make little or make light of it. You go back a few pages to Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus here speaks of those who practice their righteousness to be seen by others. These are probably some who are tempted to do the big things for the important people so that they get the recognition that comes from men. But Jesus, as he wraps up the teachings in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4 on generosity, he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret, what's Jesus saying there? Your Father knows every single thing that you do. Your Father knows every act that is done on behalf of His name and to His glory. You don't need to make a big show out of it. It doesn't have to be the stuff that is big and impressive. It doesn't have to be for the important people. It can be the stuff done in secret, the stuff that never gets man's attention. But know this, that your Father in heaven, He sees all and He rewards all. Now those rewards, they might not be the most obvious. It's not like you're going to get a trophy. It's not like there's going to be a big ceremony before others. And contrary to what some in the world try to teach and preach, just because you extend maybe some material good to somebody else doesn't mean it's going to come back to you materially tenfold. God operates on a higher level than money and material goods. His ultimate rewards are spiritual. And some of the greatest spiritual rewards are those that nobody else ever sees. A sense of fulfillment, a sense of purpose. And as we've been talking about taking up our crosses and following Jesus, sometimes the reward itself is knowing I'm not attached to my stuff. I'm willing to let go of my stuff in order to serve and help somebody else. And Scripture is full of all kinds of examples of people who let go of even the smallest of things, but who spiritually were richly rewarded. You think about the widow and her two mites. Jesus says, this woman stands out among the rest. You think a boy who takes his lunch, he probably has no idea what's going to happen on that day by the seashore. Whereas five loaves and his two fish, Jesus is able to feed thousands with it. I think about 2 Kings chapter 4, a couple who are actually, we're told, are wealthy. Elisha the prophet is traveling through, and he makes regular journeys through their community. And a woman, the Shunammite woman, she says, you know what? It would be good for us just to make a bedroom for Elisha as he travels through. This prophet, Jesus speaks about, if a prophet comes to you in the name of a prophet. Well, Elisha is a prophet in 2 Kings 4. This woman says, let's just make a room for Elisha so he has a place to stay when he travels. You might think, well, yeah, but you're wealthy, you're rich. That's not a big thing. She's rewarded. God sees that, and to this day, thousands of years later, we talk about her. Now, we might not have the good fortune of having our name included in this book, But there's an even more significant book that our name will be found in. When we're willing to do the smallest act for the least of these. But we've got to trust that those small acts for the least of these, they're not so small. And those people aren't so little. Not in God's eyes. Maybe in man's eyes. And if these things are significant in God's eyes, then if I'm going to take up my cross daily and follow Jesus, I need to see that these acts for these people, they are great, they are significant, and they are of eternal value. But I've just got to follow Jesus. To trust Him. Trust Him at His word, and trust His example. As we close this morning, I want to end with our follow this week statement, or challenge. So this week, because we are disciples, look for someone who often goes overlooked or unappreciated. You won't have to look far. In the workplace, at school, in the community, at the grocery store. Look for someone who often goes overlooked or unappreciated, and just do something simple for them. It doesn't have to be this big demonstration. Do a simple act of kindness. It might even be just getting them a cup of water. Use small things to show your appreciation for others. And let me add this. Use small things to show your discipleship of Jesus Christ. And think of a difference that makes on an everyday basis. Doing small things. Maybe it starts in the home. But for all of us, doing something small on a regular, everyday basis, it's really not that small, is it? Not doing it for self-glory or for attention, but doing it because that's the kind of stuff Jesus did. And that's what He's called us to do. This morning, what do you have to give? It might not be much in the world's eyes. It might be that from a material sense, you don't have a whole lot to give. But whatever you have to give, it's significant in God's eyes, and He rewards, and He is faithful in the way He rewards us. But you know what we all have to give? Ourselves. That's what He calls us really to give. When we take up our cross and follow Him, He's saying, give me yourself. Be willing to deny yourself in that way. Sacrifice yourself in that way. Set aside your ego, your sense of self-importance, your sense of self-glory. And follow me. Because there you will find true life, true meaning, and true fulfillment. And when we come to Christ in baptism, that is what we're declaring. I am dying to myself, and I'm putting Christ on to follow Him. This morning, if you need to give yourself to Him as a disciple, we welcome and encourage you to that decision, just as Melissa and Mandy and John have done recently, and so many others among us have, that we follow Jesus together as His disciples. If you are a Christian, but you haven't been living the life of a disciple, today's the day to get back on track, to set yourself aside, to bring your sin to the Lord, to have Him to forgive you, and to get right with Him again. We welcome and encourage you to that decision. Whether you need to come forward or meet with an elder in the library after worship, we encourage you to come to the Lord while we stand and sing.